The night before he died, Jesus gave his disciples this promise. He said, "I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." Indeed, Jesus gave his life so that not a single soul should have to live as a spiritual orphan, cut off from the love of our Heavenly Father. Jesus gave this promise to the very ones that he knew within the next few hours would betray him, deny him, and abandon him. So as Jesus was speaking these words to his disciples, knowing what was coming in the next few hours, he may have been thinking to himself, "Yes, you will abandon me, but I will never abandon you." And as we know, Jesus kept the promise that he made to his disciples. 3 days later, on Easter evening, the disciples did see him. They saw their crucified and risen Lord, who breathed his resurrection life into them. And 50 days later, according to St. Luke, the risen Lord again kept his promise. His Father sent the Holy Spirit upon all the believers on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is the one who keeps us connected to God, the Father, through the risen Christ, and keeps us connected also to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. So because of the Holy Spirit living within us, we are no longer orphans. But how many spiritual orphans are there out there? People who have never known or perhaps have forgotten who they are. Beloved children of a loving Father. Members of God's family. A number of years ago, Christian Smith, in his book, Soul Searching, The Religious and Spiritual Lives of American Teenagers, reported that millions of American teenagers are spiritual orphans. Although many teenagers are connected to God and to God's family, most, indeed the overwhelming majority, are not. Despite the fact that most teenagers, if they're asked, will say that they believe there is a God, and most will also say they believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And most indeed will express positive attitudes toward organized religion. And yet, most of them are not connected in any more than a very vague way to God or to God's family. Most indeed have very little idea of what they believe or why. Now, God does not want any of his children to grow up as spiritual orphans. And it is our job as members of God's family to see to it, as much as we can, that this doesn't happen. So how do we help our young people to come to know God and to connect powerfully with God's family? Well, I believe one of the keys lies in a single word, service. Or as we often call it in God's family, ministry. Jesus told his disciples that night, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." It is to those who love Jesus, to those who keep his commandments, to love God with all our hearts, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love one another as he has loved us. It is to these that the Spirit comes. And to be sure we didn't miss it, Jesus repeats it a second time. "Those who have my commandments and keep them are the ones who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." No spiritual orphans here. So does that mean that God loves only those who faithfully serve God by keeping Jesus' commandments? Of course not. God loves us all. But it does mean that those who are engaged in loving service to others, in ministry are able to experience God's love in the presence of the Holy Spirit more deeply and fully than others. For indeed, the very essence of God is self-giving love, the love that gives and gives without seeking anything in return. And as we put that love, that self-giving love, into practice in our lives through ministry, then we come to know the truth of God and the truth of Jesus Christ from the inside. And so it comes as no surprise to learn that youth who are actively involved in ministry, in living out their faith in practical ways that benefit others, are the most likely to remain committed to God and connected to a church community throughout their lives. That's the key. Loving service to others. And those who do not make that spiritual connection by their teenage years are far less likely to do so later in life. It's our golden opportunity to bring others to that spiritual connection with God. Indeed, God has lovingly created and shaped each one of us to serve God in a particular way, shaped us for ministry. Pastor Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, uses the letters S-H-A-P-E, shape, to help us understand how God has shaped us to serve God. The letter S stands for spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father sends to us, gives to every single believer some special gift to help to build up for God's family. For one person, it may be the gift of leadership, the gift of inspiring and directing others toward a common goal. For another, it may be the gift of compassion, the gift of a special ability to feel deeply for the hurts and the needs of others and to respond appropriately. For others, it may be the gift of administration, of being able to run things well. For another, it may be the gift of wisdom. For another, the gift of encouragement. For another, the gift of evangelism, of spreading that good news of God to others. For others, it may be the gift of hospitality, the ability to open our homes and our hearts to others. What gift has God given you? And think about how you can use that God-given gift in ministry. The H in shape is for heart. God has also put in your heart a special concern for some particular purpose. What are you passionate about? What brings tears to your eyes? God has given to some people a heart for young children, a deep concern and a desire to help young children. For others, it may be a heart for the elderly. For others, it may be a heart for caring for our environment. What are you passionate about? What gets you excited? Your heart is another key to how you can serve others in God's name. The A in shape is for your abilities. This means skills, things that you have acquired throughout your life. You may be good at singing, or playing a musical instrument, or ringing those chimes. You may be good at computer technology, or carpentry, or plumbing, or a whole host of things. But each one of those abilities can also be used in loving service to others. The P in shape is for your personality. We all have a different personality types. God has shaped in each one of us a unique personality. You may be a gregarious, outgoing kind of person who enjoys meeting and talking with people. You may be a quiet, reflective person who enjoys time alone or with a trusted friend. You may be a take-charge person who gets the job done, or you may be a dreamer who loves to consider new ideas. Whatever your personality, think of how you can use that to serve God in ways that fit who you are. And the E in shape is for your life experiences. As I mentioned last week, God uses the experiences of our lives, especially the painful and difficult ones, to make us more and more like Jesus. A breast cancer survivor can use her life experience to help others who are facing that dread disease. Or an experienced married couple can use their life experience to serve as a mentor, a guide, an encourager to newly married couples. Think about your life experiences and how you may be able to serve others in love. So God does not want any of His children to live as spiritual orphans. And the more we engage ourselves in ministry according to our unique shape, reaching out in love to others as God has reached out in love to us, the more closely then we are joined and connected to our Heavenly Father and to our brothers and sisters in God's family. So may we all come to see ourselves as ministers in God's service and to find every way we can to help our young people to become engaged in ministry, as we have already seen some of them up here today. Thanks be to God. Amen.